I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, you get to tell us more in our weekly Back Talk segment. But first, each week we explore issues of spirituality in our segment Faith Matters. This week we're going to talk about security in our places of worship. Last Sunday, 24-year-old Matthew Murray killed four people and wounded two others before killing himself, apparently, in two separate church-related incidents in Colorado. It's important to remember that in this country, at least, acts like this are rare. But when they do happen, they shake us to our core. How do places of worship balance the need to keep their congregants safe while remaining places of welcome? We're going to talk about this with Mary Marr, founder and chairman of Christian Emergency Network, an organization which aims to help Christian organizations better respond to emergencies. She joins us from Phoenix, Arizona. And Paul Goldenberg, national director of Secure Communities Network, which works with the government and other organizations to protect the security of Jewish groups. He joins us from Princeton, New Jersey. Welcome to you both. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Mary Marr, start with you. Your group started post 9/11. Why did you feel a need for this group, and what are you trying to accomplish?
Well, basically, after 9/11, we learned in the Christian community that we could do a better job of uniting together and responding together. Christian Emergency Network would help the Christian community be ready for an incident, and then also when an incident takes place, to be able to best guide them in how to best respond to that situation with critical resource needs and how they respond personally.
Now, it's not unheard of for houses of worship in this country to be attacked. I mean, this during the civil rights era, certainly, you know, African-American churches were targets. But would you say that it's really 9/11 that got Christian leaders thinking about security?
I think that probably 9/11 got us all thinking about security better, whether it was individuals, churches, or media outlets. Homeland Security started at that point for media outlets to have emergency plans in place. The unfortunate part with churches, though, that was different than schools and businesses, where they had legislative actions taken and mandates for them to have emergency plans in place. Churches did not. And so it is purely elective and purely voluntary. And so one of the difficult areas in the area of churches being ready is really for them to see the need and then take the action steps mm-hmm. for those security plans to be in place.
Now, Paul Goldenberg, the Jewish community has been, I would say, perhaps more mindful of the need to think about these issues. Do you think that's accurate?
I would say it's more than accurate. To be candid, the Jewish community has had to think about this for decades. The unfortunate thing is it's just the past 10 to 15 years where we've seen just acts of what we'll refer to as vandalism and or anti-Semitism turn into death. In 1999, 2 years before 9/11, we had Mr. Buford Furrow, who was a member of an organized hate group, enter several Jewish institutions in California. And Mr. Furrow decided to use a semi-automatic weapon to open up on Jewish children for no other purpose than to send a message that it was going to be okay in America to kill Jews. So this is 2 years beforehand that the community has been dealing with episodes that have been quite traumatic.
Well, you raised the Buford Furrow case, and that actually raises two distinct issues which aren't always the same. I mean, there's the sectarian violence or there's politically motivated violence, which fortunately we don't see a very great deal of in the United States, at least not now. And then there's also the question of mental illness. And then the Buford Furrow mm-hmm. case seemed to bring both to the fore because he is a person who had demonstrated signs of mental illness in his life before this incident. Mary, how do you deal with this? Because and I wonder if it's theologically or spiritually a struggle for Christian leaders to deal with this. Because as you know, part of the mission of houses of worship is to be places of welcome, to be places of refuge, even for people who are broken. How do you balance this?
Well, exactly. In fact, the scriptures talk about be shrewd as a serpent and wise as the dove. And so I do believe that just this incident this past week demonstrates not seeming contradictions, but actually the contrasting principles that we can, when we only have the wisdom of the Lord, will we know which applies in each situation. For example, in the Salvation Army, they oftentimes have people come to their door and they come to their door, you know, as drug addicts. And they are trained to know how to look into their eyes, to tell certain things about their behavior, and they're actually put in a 24-hour detox unit before they're even brought into the rehab center. And the purpose of that is so that they can protect the others that are there. And it's, as you said, it, while we need to respond to the brokenness that's in our world, Scripture also tells us that we are to be on guard, and that we are to make plans that are diligent to protect ourselves and our families appropriately.
But New Life New Life is a church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, that was also the target of the shooting. And there was an armed security guard there. I wonder, is that controversial within Christian denominations to have armed security in places that are considered places of sanctuary, places of worship?
Actually, not. In fact, the Scripture is very clear in Proverbs, where it says the plans of the diligent lead to protective advantage. And so what we need to do is protect the innocent so that people who are disturbed, like this person obviously was. I mean, he went from one place to another, which is the typical pattern of a disturbed individual. He was out to be violent. And we know that, you know, we know that that's a certain pattern with someone who is very, very disturbed. And so New Life Church must protect and have a plan in place. Many lives were spared on Sunday. And the point is that those people are all then able to survive this day, and they're able to share the hope of the Lord. Now, they would not be able to do that if they weren't appropriately protected.
Mary, I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble with just simply because there are denominations which are pacifist. So I'm just, perhaps they're not members of your network, but since it is a part of Christianity that some eschew weapons, there are some who don't believe in the carrying of weapons at all. There are some believers who don't even wear, you know, buttons on their clothing because they feel it's warlike. Or are you just saying that that's such a minority view? It's not even really discussed anymore.
Oh, no. And I believe that each one of us, the Lord gives each one of us on our heart what he wants us to do. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that we can make that judgment, you know, for someone else. But I do believe that Scripture is very clear that like a city without walls is a man who lacks discipline. And so discipline is a part of having the locked doors of our homes, for example. It's just part of the reality of the broken world that we live in.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. We're speaking with Paul Goldenberg of Secure Communities Network. It's a security organization that serves Jewish organizations. And Mary Marr, founder and chairman of Christian Emergency Network. Paul Goldenberg, you pointed out that the Jewish community has been a target of violence really for centuries. And, you know, we see this, I think, probably more routinely around the world than we do routinely in the United States. But in recent years, Jewish houses of worship and other community organizations have had to become more mindful. Is there a sense that this need to become more security conscious has had an impact on Jewish places of worship, on a sense of the experience of gathering in worship?
You know, absolutely. Look, the Jewish community has the same challenges as the Christian community. It's all the same. These were places that were created initially and still to be open places where people were invited in. Actually, I'll contradict myself, not by invitation, where people can walk in. So, you know, there's always a challenge as to maintaining an open place, a place where people are welcome, and at the same time being vigilant and making sure that the congregates and those that are there to pray are going to be secure and remain secure. Look, I have been in law enforcement for over 25 years, and I will tell you that when I started my career 25 years ago, I did not see the types of heinous incidents that I'm seeing today. We're seeing young children walk into schools and literally massacre in other children without even flinching, and then going to the next level and committing acts of suicide in the name of whatever they may be believing in at the time. And the reason that I bring that out is that this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing at times with lone wolves. It's not just organized groups or it's not people who are at a level of sophisticated Al-Qaeda, et cetera. It could be anybody's child picking up weapons and entering places of worship.
What are some of the things that you feel perhaps other religiously committed people could learn from the experiences that you've had over the years?
first and foremost is to map your institution. And what that means is share your blueprints, particularly if you have a daycare center, share your blueprints with your local law enforcement agency. That is extremely important. They need to know before they get to your site where the windows are, where the doors are, where are the congregates. And it will make for a much easier execution of law enforcement duties to save lives if the police have the appropriate information. In addition to appropriate information, they need to have a security leader or points of contact. Every institution should have a security committee that interacts openly with law enforcement. There is training out there that is at absolutely no cost that can save lives. There's training called CERT, which is a community emergency response training. It is provided by states and the federal government. It is a terrific tool that teaches not only counterterrorism techniques or counter-surveillance if the institution is being surveilled. These are things that can save lives. It's like a good piece of real estate, location, location, location. Really, to keep people alive, it's training, training, and more training. All the wonderful plans in the world, if you have all those plans, I cannot tell you how many times, particularly post-Katrina, where I spoke to the heads of religious institutions and I said, where was your plan? And they said, well, the plan was floating down the Mississippi River. And I'm not saying that to be facetious. Mm-hmm. If you don't test your plans, if you don't realize your plans, it's not going to happen and lives will not be saved.
Mary, final thought from you about what it is you would most like the religiously committed and their leaders to be thinking about.
Paul just cited the most important security aspects, but there's also the spiritual emotional part of it, as well as their own personal physical preparedness. And I think churches today get a failing grade, unfortunately, in kind of sharing with their congregation before something happens how to be prepared for it. And then preparing their congregation in other ways besides just, you know, that physical security, but being ready to really give an answer for the hope that's within them. It's the whole point that a church stands for.
Mary, what I hear you saying is that people have to think about it. They just have to face the realities of the world, and how they choose to face it is up to them, but they have to at least think about it.
Exactly.
Mary Maurer is the founder of the Christian Emergency Network. She joined us from Phoenix, Arizona. We were also joined by Paul Goldenberg, National Director of Secure Communities Network. He joined us from his office in Princeton, New Jersey. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.